And I'm in Romans chapter 6, so if you'll take your Bible and be turning there, Romans 6, and as we're turning, we're going to sharpen our minds this morning and just consider what God says about doing the right thing. I don't know about you, but the world seems to be doing the wrong thing out there, and we need to do the right thing as God defines the right thing. In Romans 6, God's going to speak to us this morning with some very practical application to doing the right thing on a daily basis, and that is growing in godliness. How do we do the right thing? How do we live righteous lives? And remember, in chapter 6 and chapter 7, in the context, Paul is speaking about sanctification, how you and I grow in holiness, how we become more like the God that we recognize and testify has saved us, how we become more like Him. And God wants to defeat that power of sin in our life, and He wants us to experience victory. We've sung about it this morning, and He assures us that it is a possibility, something that can happen in your life. Do you believe, listen, just as Ashley testified going through the waters, do you believe today that Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin? Amen? He did. He died and paid the penalty that our sin deserved. Do you believe that He rose again and He's gone to prepare a place for you? And in that place, there's no presence of sin. Are you looking forward to going to that place? I am. Amen. Lord, I want to go now, you know, even before I get done preaching. But there's a reason why you and I are still here. We are here to declare and demonstrate that we not only believe He died for the penalty of our sin and He's taking to us us to a place where there's no presence of sin, but we demonstrate that truth on a daily basis as we see the power of sin defeated in our lives. It's a testimony to the world around us of the power of God's grace and the amazing grace that we've experienced and those mercies that we experience new, fresh and new every morning. There seems to be a disconnect between what we believe about what Jesus has done, the reality of His death on the cross, the truth that He's coming back for His bride one day. There seems to be a disconnect between what I believe about that and how I behave. Oftentimes, what we believe and how we behave do not show the consistency that it should as believers. That we believe the truth of the gospel, and that gospel is transforming our lives day by day. If you were honest today, let's be honest, we don't always do the right thing. Amen? Now, if you can't be honest about that, you just sinned, okay? All right? You just fell short of the glory of God. God requires perfection. As far as I've checked, none of us have attained it yet. God demands that. That's what the law, the righteous requirement of the law is. And none of us do the right thing every time. We don't always do we might do the right thing, but we might do it for the wrong reason. We don't always do the right thing for the right reason. And yet Jesus did. And so what we have to acknowledge this morning is we don't always do that. That's why Christ had to come and die. But as I look in the mirror this morning, as I'm honest with God, and the mirror isn't something in the bathroom, listen, the mirror is right here before us, the Word of God. As I look into the mirror of God's Word, what is the reflection that I see? Listen, it's easy for me to point at my spouse and say, you know, you didn't do the right thing. Or at my children, you didn't do the right thing. Listen, students, you can point at your parents. You know what? You didn't do the right thing. This is not the question today. The question is, I look in the mirror and I let the mirror reflect me. What do I see in my life about me doing the right thing? About you doing the right thing? Because God wants you and I to discover the power, the joy, listen, of having the freedom from the power of sin in our life so that we choose on a daily basis to do the right thing. There's some sins that Christ has freed us from, and some talents, they just rear their head over and over again. And we should be dead to those sins, doing the wrong thing. Christ came to give us, listen, not just a future. He gave us to give us power now to experience victory now as a testimony of what we're going to enjoy in the future to the fullest. It's been going on too long. Listen, the sin that we've had that seems to continually happen in our lives and causes us pain and hurt in those around us, that doesn't have to continue. According to what Paul is going to teach us today in Romans chapter 6, listen, there is a battle going on. It's not just a battle out there between forces of good and evil. There's a battle that happens right here in my heart and in your heart this morning. It's a battle between whether doing the right thing or not doing the right thing, whether living righteously or living for unrighteousness. And it's sanctification. It's what we're studying this year, how we can grow so that, you know what, we do the right thing for the right reason, for the glory of God, and we're empowered to do that by God himself. It's not my strength. It's not your strength. It's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. It's Christ in us that makes it a possibility. And when we do that, you and I can experience victory each and every day. Paul's going to speak to us this morning, and God's word speaks, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 14. So if you want to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord, we'll back up and just hear the context in just a moment. But listen to verses 11 through 14, just these four verses this morning. And I want to focus on this. Notice I'm going to highlight a couple words as we go through this. Don't close your Bible. We want to hear God speak and gaze into this mirror and really get a full picture of who we are. Listen to what he says. Likewise, you also. What's the likewise like? Well, we're going to see that a little bit later in verses 1 through 10. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That verb reckon is really important. To be dead to sin, but be alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present yourselves, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Critical words here. In verse 11, reckon. In verse 13, present. And verse 14, this word dominion. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us this morning. Father in heaven, I pray our lives would demonstrate that we know the truth that changes lives. That Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And that we have died to ourselves to find new life in him. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit would now fill our hearts and fill our minds. Convict us of sin, Lord, that we might repent and turn to you. And help us to experience the joy, the freedom of victory through the blood of Christ and the power of your Spirit as our lives are made new. And God, help us to apply this practical truth so what we do reflects what we say we believe. That our behavior reflects true belief in the only Savior who can save us from our sins. We're asking these things in his precious and powerful name this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Before we dive right in, I said there was a likewise there, and we want to make sure we understand the context and the flow of Paul's argument all the way from chapter 1. In the first three chapters of Romans, Paul explains quite clearly, listen, we are all in a desperate condition. We are in a deplorable condition. We are all sinners. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. There's no hope for us in that condition. We all have sin. Listen, at some point in the past, we all have sin, and it still has ramifications today. And daily, we are falling short of the glory of God. God demands perfection, and not a one of us has attained it. But that's bad news in and of itself, but there's good news. Christ came and he died so that God can be both just and justifier because he paid that penalty at Calvary. And so in chapters 4 and 5, Paul explains, listen, you and I can be treated just as if we've never sinned. Wow, praise God, I'd like that. Amen. That I can be treated, a sinner who has sinned, I can be treated just as if I've never sinned. How? It's not through anything you and I do. It's by grace through faith. It is God's work of faith in your life, of transforming your life. When you and I exercise faith and place that faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are treated, justified, just as if we've never sinned. But it doesn't stop there because I don't know about you, but I realize, listen, just because I'm treated as though I haven't sinned, I still see in my body that I sinned, don't you? Well, what do we do with that? Or some would even argue, well, listen, might it be the case that if we can be have all of our sins forgiven, that we can just go on and sin and do as we please? And Paul says in chapter 6, listen, that is not possible. That is not the case. In chapter 6, verse 2 and verse 15, he'll say that. Shall we continue in sin, or shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Certainly not. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Listen, if you and I profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we declare, listen, we've been convicted of sin, we've repented and placed our faith and trust in Him, and our life has been made new, we don't get to live as we please. We don't get to continue in sin that grace might abound. No, no, no. Our life, your life, my life, listen, should be different. It should be being transformed. It should be being made new. We don't continue to get to live just as we want to live. We've experienced the grace that saves us from the penalty of sin. It also saves us from the power of sin. And we demonstrate that on a daily basis. And that's what chapter 6 and chapter 7 are all about. That we, listen, work out that salvation that God has worked in. God made it possible for us to be saved. He does it because of what Christ did for us at Calvary. But now, if that's really true, I need to work that out. You need to work that out on a daily basis. Now, we do that by reckoning certain things, knowing certain things, being aware of certain things. In verses 1 through 3, Paul says, or verses 1 and 2, he says, listen, just realize this. We died to sin in the past. We've made a profession of faith. I am dying to sin. I am repenting and turning away from sin, and I'm turning and placing my faith and trust in Christ. Is that true? Do you know that today? Do you know not only your past that you've died to sin, do you know that you are presently in Christ, buried with Him, risen with Him? That's verses 3, 4, and 5. Don't you know, listen, that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. That water is not the baptism He's talking about. That's a testimony that I have died with Christ and my life is in Him, and I'm now ready to walk in the newness of life that He provides. Paul says, listen, if we were buried with Him through baptism unto death, just as Christ was raised from the dead, so too were you, so too were I, was I. And now He does that so we should walk in newness of life. My life, your life, as those who profess Christ, should give evidence and testimony, man, something's changed. Something new is in here. I don't have to be like I was in the old way, the old nature. I can live in a newness of life. And Christ makes that possible. He has the potential, makes that possible in our life, because verse 8 says it this way, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. Why? Because we know when Christ died, having been raised from the dead, He dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Christ has defeated sin and Christ has defeated death. You and I no longer have to fear those things, and no longer does sin have to reign in our bodies. Just as He lives His life to God, raised from the dead, just like that, in that newness of life that He has promised for us, we are to live to God in like manner. Now, how do we do that on a daily basis? This is the whole point of his argument here in verses 11 through 14. How do you and I experience victory in this battle with sin in our life every single day? Because listen, I don't know if you noticed that in verse 12, in verse 13. In verse 12, it mentions, do not let sin reign in your life. In verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. There is a war going on in our lives, in our souls, and it's a battle each and every day. This isn't just something that happens on Sunday. Listen, every single day there is a battle going on, a rebellion that's going on. And it's a rebellion, listen, it started in heaven with the devil and his angels, and then it came and it affected Adam and Eve when they sinned and made a choice, and now it affects all the seed of Adam and Eve. That's you and me. And it's a battle. And sin wants to rule in your life, in my life. It wants to have dominion. It wants to call the shots. And yet, God's word says to us, that doesn't have to be the case any longer. Praise the Lord. I don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like that. How then, Pastor Chris, does that happen? How is it that we can have the victory, that I can be dead to sin and alive to Christ? Well, it starts with our thinking. It starts about what we know. Don't you know what has happened in the past? Don't you know what has happened when Christ rose from the dead? And don't you know that you are identified with him? If so, then let's add it all up. And that's what he does right here in verse 11. He says, like him, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that word reckon, maybe your version says consider. In other words, can we just think about this for a moment? And it's it's an accounting term which says let's add it all up. What are we adding up? I mean, you know what accountants do? They take all the numbers, like, you know, they just did our taxes. Oh, what a joy. And they take all those numbers and they sit at those calculators, and that big, the tape just rolls, and then they get to some number. We do it with Excel spreadsheets now, right? And now we just put all the numbers in an Excel spreadsheet, and then we hit that little sigma, that the sum function up there, and we sum up all those blocks, and we get some number that comes out. If you were to add it all up, sum it all up, consider everything right now, just stop and think about it, we should reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why? Well, our identity is with Christ. He's died for sin. He's paid the penalty for sin. Not his own. He didn't have any. He died for your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. He died and paid the penalty. He died once. He satisfied the requirement of God, offering himself once for all sin. No other penalty, no other sacrifice is required to pay for that penalty. He's done it all. It's finished. Praise God. Can you add that up? Stop and think about it. He has paid the penalty for sins you and I haven't even committed yet. Wow. It's amazing. And he's paid that penalty. Not only that, listen, because he did that, he didn't just die, he rose again, which means he has power over the wages of sin, which is death. He has power over the consequences of that. And because you and I identify with him, listen, through repentance and faith, putting our faith and trust in that sacrifice he has offered for us, transferring our trust, anything you and I think we can do to save ourselves, no, I believe in Jesus' name. We just sang it. I wholly trust in Jesus' name. Because of that, listen, I should not present myself. Listen, I should consider myself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sin does not have to reign in my mortal body any longer. I don't have to obey its lust. That's how I once lived. I don't have to do that anymore. Listen, don't you dare use the excuse, well, that's just the way I am. You've heard that before. Now, don't elbow your husband right now, okay, ladies? All right? Listen, men, we're goobers sometimes, and we say that. Well, it's just the way I am. Just the way God made me. No! God remade us. We've been made new. Your life is different now. You just got to reckon this. Just get it in your mindset and think about it for a moment and consider it and sum it all up and look at what the text says. We have been made new. And because of our identity with Christ, because he died and rose again, you've risen to walk in a newness of life. Sin doesn't have to rule. It doesn't have to call the shots. It doesn't reign any longer. It used to do that. It used to tell us, it used to influence us, the desires, the lust that were out there. We were tempted, and our heart, we responded because that we were attracted to that. But sin no longer has to have that way in your life. You can be set free from the power of sin. Just consider, listen, when Christ died on that cross, he not only paid the penalty, we were bought off the slave block of sin. We sat there desperate. We were chained to sin. What Christ does when we repent and place our faith in him is he unlocks those shackles so sin no longer has power in your life and my life. Just think about it. Just consider what the Word of God says. We've been set free. Why, listen, would I want to pick those shackles up and put them back on and say, well, that's just the way I am? You've been set free from this. No longer does that sin, whatever trips you up so easily as you run the race of faith, no longer does that have to ensnare you any longer. You can be set free. Just think about it. Just consider it. Just reckon. Just sum it all up and see. Man, look at what Christ has done on my behalf. And I have placed my faith and trust in Him. Sin does not have to have its way. Now, what I need to realize is this is a battle. When it says in verse 13 that you and I do not present our members of our body as instruments of unrighteousness, which lead to sin, but instead we present ourselves to God as being alive from the dead and our members as instruments of righteousness, there's two key things here that we have to recognize. First, the presentation, and then this word instrument. Now, I don't want you to think about this instrument as like a tool or something you use like in your toolbox, or like a doctor uses an instrument, or a chef has different instruments when they cook a meal. No, no, no. The word in the Greek is used in other places as a weapon. Now listen, this is just highlighting there's a battle going on. And what you and I need to realize is either we are presenting our body, presenting our parts of our body in this battle, cosmic battle, on the wrong side or on the right side. Because there's only two sides, all right? The battle, listen, is real. And you have to decide who are you presenting yourself to for battle. All right, when I was in the army and we had reveille in the morning, you presented yourself, you're ready at first formation, ready to go, whatever the orders were for that day. You and I are to present ourselves to God each and every day. We once presented our members of our body. We presented our hands, our eyes, our ears, our tongue, and oh my goodness, that tongue just tells you what's in the heart. We used to present that for unrighteousness. We used to present that to sin. We no longer do that. We no longer do that. It's a decision, a daily decision, many times during the day where I have to say, no, I'm not doing that any longer. I am saying no to sin. I am not presenting myself any longer in that way because I am saying yes to God. And I'm saying yes to Him to present myself to Him. Why? Because I don't want to be an instrument, a weapon for unrighteousness. I want to be an instrument, a weapon for doing the right thing. See, listen, there was this imp, right, in heaven who wanted to be God one day, right? He wasn't an imp then, he was an angel. But because he wanted to be God, and that wasn't going to happen because there's only one God, he had a battle. One third of the angels went with him in this battle, and they had a battle, and God kicked him out of heaven. Well, since he couldn't defeat God there in heaven, he thought, well, you know what? I'll mess with God's people. These ones made in his image, this man and this woman. And so he went to the garden. And there in the garden, he tempted Adam and Eve. He tempted them in this way. He tempted them and said, listen, what God said is right isn't right. You define what's right for you. And so he said, listen, just look at this tree. It's good for you. And it'll make you wise. In fact, you'll be like God. Just take a bite. And in that moment, that is where we see this cosmic battle affecting mankind. Now, because the serpent tempted Adam and Eve to define good for themselves, to define what is right for themselves. And when they did that, that then infected all of us and affected all of us as the consequences of sin now, depravity hits all of mankind. Everyone who comes from them is affected by that. And so listen, that's why we need to realize no longer do I want to present myself like the devil in this battle against what's right. I want to present myself in the battle for what's right, not what's wrong. And I need to realize that on a daily basis. The devil does not want you to do that. So he tempts you and I to join him in that rebellion and turn against God and not do the right thing. But we should want to do the right thing. And we do that by saying no to sin and saying yes to God and yes to righteousness. We don't have to let sin reign or have dominion over us. That word dominion, that word reign, you see, it highlights that we believe there is an ultimate authority who calls the shots. There is one God who reigns. There's one God who rules. There's one God who has dominion over all things. And it's our God that we worship. Now, here's the amazing thing. Just stop and think about that righteous God. He is righteous, holy. He wants us to be like him. In fact, he has promised, listen, one day he's going to come and establish his throne upon this earth for 1,000 years. Christ will reign. And when he reigns, Hebrews tells us that his scepter, the way he rules, unlike all the other rulers of this world, he will rule with a righteous scepter. And he will have sway over all the decisions that are made. And he will always do the right thing because he's a righteous God. In fact, he demonstrates that for you and me. As David would say in Psalm 23 about our shepherd, he guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's never going to lead us in the wrong way. He's always going to show us the right thing. Where does he show us the right thing? Well, when he speaks to us, God tells you and tells me what the right thing is and what the wrong thing is. We used to be inclined to do the wrong thing. Praise God, he changed that. We can choose to do the right thing now because he defines that right thing and he gives us the power to do that right thing by his spirit that now dwells within us. The problem is, you know what, we live in a world that everybody wants to define what's right for them, what's right in their eyes. You don't want to live in that kind of world, read Judges. The problem isn't just the world, the problem is also my flesh, my nature, my old nature. It still at times wants to do the wrong thing. Can I get an amen? Will you be honest with yourself today? It's a struggle. It's a battle. But that does not have to rule any longer. The throne in my heart, listen, the Spirit of God now dwells within us. We have raised to walk in newness of life. We can say no. You can say no. And you say no most powerfully when you say yes to God. Because when God is reigning and ruling in my heart and we are yielded and surrendered to him, there's no room for the devil and the tempter to come and tempt us to go with where sin wants to lead us, with the lusts and desires of our old nature. Why? Because I'm finding joy in presenting myself as an instrument of righteousness to God. And what I need to learn is say yes far, far, far more than I say no, but we still say no. But the yes enables me to say no. Now that's a daily, daily battle. And let's be honest, sometimes in that battle, I tell you what, just do this. As I'm stepping on toes this morning, listen, my own as well. Sometimes it's important, maybe if you just step on your toes and say, hey, I need to be reminded of this. I can say no. I don't have to do this. I can say yes to God, and I can say yes to Christ Jesus in my life. And the Spirit of God, listen, that Christ has given you and given me, the Spirit of God gives us the power to take the Word of God and apply it to our heart and apply it to our mind and renew our mind so that we put off that old way of living and we put on a new way of living. And this is what Paul is saying. Listen, reckon yourselves. Listen, the members of your body no longer are as instruments of unrighteousness. That leads to sin. No longer do my eyes have to look at those things that entice it and say, oh, I want that, when we know it's sinful. No longer do my feet have to lead me in paths that I know that are unrighteous, that are wrong, that will lead to sin. I don't have to do that. You don't have to do that any longer. No longer does my mouth have to speak in such a way that's cutting and destructive and not uplifting and building in a way that glorifies God and edifies others. Our lives can be made new, and we no longer have to make those decisions. You are free to do that in Christ and through his blood. Let's just do it. Let's say no by saying yes more to God and presenting ourselves unto him and our bodies unto him. This is the same picture over in Romans chapter 12. We saw that several weeks ago. Listen, brethren, by the mercy of God, Paul would say, I beseech ye, present your whole body, present yourself as a living sacrifice. I do that by dying to myself, dying to that old nature, and finding new life in Christ. And it's a daily sacrifice. You see, the thing about living sacrifices, as one great preacher said, they always want to climb down off the altar. They don't want to stay there and die. And that's the challenge to us today, that I would be willing, listen, to die to my old ways of, my old desires, all those things that I'm enticed, the lust that come after me, and say no and instead say yes. Paul later says it in this chapter by saying, listen, you no longer present yourself as a slave to obey unrighteousness. We no longer have to listen to that old master. Praise God, we've been set free. We have a new master. And if you really want to be free, you present yourself as a servant to this new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, he has promised us not just that we will have a new life. There'll be righteousness in our life. There'll be holiness in our life. There'll be eternal life that awaits us. We say no to the old master because all that does is lead to death. Death and destruction and nothing profitable for us in this life nor the one to come. And you and I have to learn to do that on a daily basis. And Paul's commanding us, saying, God, this is what God says you and I should be doing. Turning away from sin and saying yes to God. We should want to do that because our King is a righteous King. And he's reigning on a throne that he will establish on the earth. Now listen, if you're a disciple, you want to, you know, Jesus say over in Matthew chapter 6, that you know what? There's one priority we should be seeking first, what? The kingdom of God each and every day. And the righteousness that goes along with that reign and rule. How do we seek that righteousness that goes along with the reign and rule of Christ? It begins right here in my heart. It begins in your heart. I want to do the right thing as God defined it. I want to do the right thing with the right reason, with the right motivation, because this glorifies God. And because I know also it will be good for me, but let's make it a priority first that I'm going to glorify God and he'll ensure me that it'll be good for me. And I do that on a daily basis, seeking that. By the way, if we'll do that, that will influence the world out there around us because we'll see that righteousness demonstrated in the things that we do, the decisions that we make that affect every facet of life. That's how the gospel transforms the culture. As it begins in your heart and my heart on a daily basis, God working in our lives, transforming us, and that salt and light then begins to affect and infect and affect the community around us. It's a very practical thing in our own personal life, and then it affects the community as well, and it's a testimony to the world around us. Now, I need to realize this. Listen, sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you. Why? You're not under law. We're under grace. You see, you know what law does? The law does this. The law exposes sin. But Christ has died and paid the penalty that the law deserved. Now we are under grace. We are empowered by God's grace. No longer, listen, to have to achieve a righteousness. It's been achieved for us by Christ Jesus. But now we get to flesh out that righteousness on a daily basis as we die to self and die to sin and present ourselves. Here I am. I want to be an instrument to righteousness. In this battle, in this warfare, I want to be on the right side, choosing the right thing, doing it for the right reason. It's incredibly practical and it's incredibly important that you and I realize this. Beloved, praise God for the grace of God this morning. It is the grace of God that saves us. It's the grace of God that transforms us day by day. Sometimes you just have to pray a prayer. God, I do not want to say yes to this temptation. God, I want to say no. I want to say yes. I want to present myself to you today. Lord, may your spirit fill me. Lord, transform my life. Renew my ways of thinking. Help me to take this thought captive to the knowledge of who you are. As the God who reigns and the God who rules. I want your will and listen, as it is in heaven, on earth, right here in my heart today, as I make this decision, I want my life to be made new. And it's a progressive thing that we are growing in godliness, we are growing in righteousness, and ultimately we're growing in holiness as we do this day in and day out. And in all of it, we're depending on the grace of God. The grace of God that sustains us, not just sustains us, it saved us. But that grace of God is day by day transforming us. Sometimes you just got to say no to sin. No, I will not present myself that way any longer. And yes, I will present myself to God to be an instrument unto righteousness. And as we do that, daily obeying righteousness, it leads to holiness. Now here's the rub. You look in the mirror right now, and I see myself in this mirror. And there's not a one of us who say, well, I got that all perfect, Pastor. None of us can. All of us have that sin, that desire in the old flesh. And the question is, what reared its head this week? What is it that you and I need to be honest with God and say, you know what, I need to lay that before the Lord. God, help me to say no to that by saying yes to you this week. Whatever member, whatever part of your body, I mean, from your head to your toe, I mean, your mind, the things you think about, the eyes, the things you look at, the ears, the thing you incline your ear to hear about, the mouth that it speaks the way it speaks, the hands, the things that you do, the feet where they take us. What is it that I say, no longer do I want to present my members of my body as an instrument for unrighteousness? No, God, today, God, help me. When that temptation comes today, this week, Lord, help me to say yes to you. Help me to say yes to you. Now, this isn't to obtain sinless perfectionism. None of us will do that. But it is a call to fight aggressively, intentionally, and to present yourself to God as an instrument for righteousness and say, I don't want sin to dwell in my life anymore. I don't want it to have its rule anymore. Christ, you've set me free. Jesus, you're the King who reigns not only in heaven, your spirit. May he reign and rule in my heart. May I die to self to find the fullness of life that you promised in me. If sin is there, we confess it. It's present, yes, in the old nature. It makes itself present. But here's the amazing thing. It doesn't have any power anymore. So don't give it power. Don't yield to it any longer. Don't obey it any longer. Yield yourself to Christ and watch what his spirit can do. I'm going to invite you to bow your head this morning as we run to the cross and claim what Christ has accomplished for us, confessing and identifying with him, acknowledging, Jesus, we've died with you. We've risen to walk in newness of life. Sum it up right now. Do you recognize? Do you realize? This isn't what you feel. This is what we know to be true. Add it up. Is your life made new this morning? And are you reflecting that in your life? The altar's open. This is a time, listen, if the Spirit of God has convicted us, and there's some things that we need to just say, God, I'm not going to live that way anymore. Please, by your grace, by your power, Lord, I want my life to be changed. I don't want to yield to that any longer. You don't have to today. You can be set free. Christ came to set us free from sin. Not just to pay the penalty, but to save us from the power of sin on a daily basis. Will you call out to him? Be honest with him today. It's easy to point out other people's faults. We're really good at it. But this is looking in the mirror of my own heart. Where am I with God in my daily walk with Christ? God, this is something I see that you need to work on me, and I need to work out in me. God, you've made that possible, Lord. Lord, I want to realize that today.